Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation panel call on the 10th of October 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Mariana, Michael, Dennis, Hassan, Max, and Nico, and Pitinan. Over to you, Mariana.
Okay, someone is typing, and it is pretty loud. Okay, today we have to try to resolve our comments, which we have on report, because after this meeting, we should try to finalize the report somehow, send it to IP. Also, Pitina needs the report to produce this XML files or whatever it is. So, Michael, will you be so kind to lead this part of the meeting, because you know what is missing in the report and what should be resolved?
Yes, sure, I'll try.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I've shared with the group some links for files on OneDrive. Basically, I was editing the proposal and trying to wrap up all the comments and insert like things where there were gaps. I was unable to merge the two documents. That is, I was working on the proposal, and one of the large bits we had still standing out was the Appendix D, which is dealing with variants. So I was unable to put them together because Word kept crashing, just as Google Docs has been stalling and stuff like that. So sorry about that, but I think it should still be understandable. At least that's what I hope. If there are questions about the files or you have problems accessing them, please let me know and I'll try to look into it. It should be just a plain link which is accessible without any login. Now, there is a file which Pityanan, hopefully, yes, I think she opened it up. So it's called LGP proposal without appendix, without changes. And basically I have accepted all changes I made. If you want to review what I did in detail, you can always take a look at the track changes version. I've not tried to make any changes of substance. I've only made grammatical corrections, editing headings and inserting like things which were there but which were unclear or which were repetitive and merging them. So I've not produced new content, in my opinion. I've only tried to merge kind of what we have. So there are a few comments which were there, which I think I resolved most of them, but I would like to hear from the owners of that comments, of those comments, if they agree to that. So I would suggest we walk through those comments one by one, and then everyone can tell me if they're okay with the solution or not. Okay, let's see about that. Give me a second to open the files myself. Okay, so the first comment by myself, it was about the approach we had taken when it comes to variants, that we were looking for a significant minority of fonts in the inscript analysis. So I inserted a comment I inserted some text about that in section 6.5. You can read that up if you want to. Are there any comments on this item at this moment? I would, if you're interested, you can read up it on it in 6.5. I just wanted to inform you that I inserted this kind of text.
I have a question.
Sure, shoot. Yeah.
Yes. When I opened the document, which I think is the same document in at the site. I don't see the comments. Or do I look at the wrong document?
What is the title of the document you're opening up?
ICANN LGP proposal. Without appendix.
Do you open the Word document or the PDF?
The Word document, but I think I can see the comments if you click. I didn't click on the right side, so now I see the comments. Thank you.
Okay, so this is resolved, Mats?
Yeah, the comments were invisible by default, but if you click on the bubble, you see them.
Okay, least. Well, in my setup, they're visible by default. But if you open the PDF, there should be a column on the right-hand side where they're part of the printout in the PDF.
I see. Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome. So can we go back to that comment? Okay. So if there are no further comments, I would like to come to the next point, which is this variance principle matrix. I think Dennis inserted it into the document, and he asked for an intro to introduce that matrix. Well, we haven't gotten really around to discussing that yet, and it's my impression that I'm not sure if we have consensus on that. So my simple suggestion would be to remove this part for now, and we can reinsert it in a later iteration of the document. Since Dennis is the owner of that bit of the matrix, I was going to ask if you're okay with that, Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. Dennis here. So just to give a context of this table, right, this was per request of the IP. If you remember the last meeting that we have, the conference call at Brussels, is that they wanted a more concise, clear way to distinguish each type of the variant relationships that are being proposed. So this table was prepared such that we can use it in programming the XML and clearly state or represent what is the type of variant relationship being proposed, right? Whether it's a one because of visual variance or is a number four because of the non-visual variant characterization, right? And so we can quickly identify each of the variant sets when we are programming the XML, and one can then look at the proposal and read, okay, what does a visual variant mean? And the proposal can give you that information, but as far as the programming of the XML, this will give a more quickly way to identify which one is it. Instead of using freeform text, right? Each time you have to define the variant relationships. So as far as whether you remove these, yes, I mean, we have not discussed in depth whether these are the right groups or the right groupings. We can defer for the next proposal, for the next version. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you for the explanation also. For example, I didn't understand it in that sense. I understood, for example, the index to be some kind of hierarchy, not just some kind of reference numbers which you wanted to, or which we wanted to reuse for the XML. If it's a reference to the XML, I would suggest also putting it somehow into the XML. I'm not sure if that's technically possible. But as a solution, I think we have an agreement here that for now we'll remove it from the document and put it back into the next iteration of the document.
I want to comment.
Hi, Michael. I don't know if you see the screen. We have the queue. It's Marjana, Bill, and then Matt.
Sorry, I can't see the queue while I'm talking here. So if either you, Pitinan, or you, Mirjana, could just help me.
I will
make off the who's raising their hands and what's going on the chat, that would be nice.
Yeah. My suggestion is I just made a copy of this document because this document will be the base for our next version of the report. So whatever you agree, we have the copy of the document on my computer in the situation like it is now. Okay, that's one everything what I wanted to say at this moment. So Bill is the next, and after that, Mats.
Bill, yes, please. I think that since the IP asked for something like this, that we probably should leave the table in there. But I think we should stick a note in saying that it's an initial draft of the table, and we're still working through it, just so they're clear that we haven't decided that these are the categories and there aren't any others. I think that should be enough to make it clear we're still talking, but at least give them some response to the comment they made previously. Thank you.
Mats?
Yes, I fully agree with what Bill said. I want to say the same thing.
Okay, and then we have Samart in the chat suggest to keep it in a document as well. It's okay to keep it here and also duplicate in the XML. And that's all for the queue, Michael.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we can keep it if that's the consensus of the group. I personally find some of the categories ambiguous and maybe also problematic. So for example, I'm not very sure about what index number 9, function alternate orthography, refers to. I assume it may be part of what we have termed non-visual variants, but like this kind of systematic separation between those things, unless we can freely combine them, may actually create a problem in some cases. But we can leave it now and address it later. So I will just remove the yellow highlighted text, the missing intro, and leave it as it is. All right?
Yeah. My suggestion is just to add one sentence that this is a draft proposal of variant principle matrix, not discussed yet, and leave it like this.
Okay, will do.
That's the most simple way to solve this problem. We are thinking about it, but we didn't finish it. That's it. So, okay, Michael. Go on.
Yeah, so I just saw some chat comments by Sarma.
Just wanted to go ahead and Minkal, if you're just going to read that, that's all I wanted to add.
Yeah, so thanks for the chat comments. I just saw them. The point is, I'm not entirely sure if we have concise definitions for each of these examples. So I agree that it would be good to have examples for all of these cases, but I don't think it's very clear what all of these are. So for example, I'm very unsure what would serve as a good example for function alternate orthography. Also, I'm not 100% on the symmetry as opposed to transitivity. And the general acceptable font design, I'm not quite sure if that relates to the underlining issues because it may kind of, it kind of plays into like 1 and 2. So there are different issues I see with giving examples now. And again, I would suggest to postpone that for a later iteration.
We have Bills in the queue.
Yeah. I think it would be worthwhile to put a column in for examples, but leave it blank for the moment. That way it's clear that we intend there, which will make it clearer in the next draft, but we can we don't have to deal with the fact that we haven't walked through all of these yet. So just add a blank column for example, and then we can come back to it another time. Thank you.
Okay, is that acceptable to everyone?
This is Sarmad. So I think even though I also supported including this table, I would also like to add that I think Mikal actually raises a fair point, and we should at some point clarify what each of these things are, especially if these are, we're calling them principles, we should obviously have a clear, unambiguous statement on what each of these principles are, if they're not discussed above. So that work obviously could be done in the next iteration. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I think we have a solution and consensus about how to go on with this. So if there are no further comments, I would suggest moving forward to the next comment inside the document. And thanks for keeping some notes, Bettina, also.
Oh, by the way, before this comment, may I just point out that this graphic has been updated from the last time. So I saw you use this in the PowerPoint as well. So I will suggest using this updated graphic.
Yes, thank you, Pitinand. That's you are helping me a lot. I will change the graphic in the presentation. Thank you.
Okay.
I can say one or two words about the graphic if you care. There are no substantial changes. I just, with the help from Pitinand, made the branches a bit more logical and gave missing examples. So there were no examples for URL underlining. Also, I changed the order within non-visual variants and put base characters and split them up into shape and spacing just as diacritics. That's kind of it. So it's mostly to make it more clear. Thank you. If there are no other further questions, I would suggest moving on to the next comment. Yes, here there was just simply text which suggested that we only use visual criteria for identifying some of the variants and particularly cross group variants. And for example, in the case of regrow, we also use non-visual criteria. So I kind of changed the wording a bit. Here we had some comment left that we still needed discussions about three fonts and how far they're relevant. So I inserted some, because it was kind of redundant and repeated in separate places, I kind of put it into section 6.5. Then in the next comment, there were some changes here where writings, that is the text Arial, Curry New and Times New Roman actually was put into Arial, Curry New and Times New Roman as examples. We also had several other such cases. Throughout the document, where we were making use of fonts to demonstrate minute detail differences in between different glyphs, I tried to put in visual graphics files, which are stable because such font changes are not stable in my opinion. So this is kind of what I was referring to. I think we also had a conversation about that, Bill, by email. So does this clarify what I meant by that? And are you okay with that situation?
Yes, I'm fine with it. I'm not sure I agree that it's a problem, but I have no problem doing it that way if you're more comfortable with that.
We had several occasions where font differences got lost in copying and pasting and moving and changing things. So I very much think it's a wiser choice from an editorial point of view.
Okay, no problem from me.
Okay, if there are no further questions, we can go on.
I have a comment there. So
please.
So what happens if we use graphics instead of character is that we cannot search for that in the document. So that's a limitation. I don't say that is blocking, but it's an important to understand that.
Yes, I understand it. But then again, I think all of the data which is contained in graphics files always has some kind of title, some kind of introductory remark, some kind of section heading. So I think whatever information is contained is still findable. It can still be found either by means of a search. So here we have the same issue that we had a glyph, which was where the Bill had changed the font to Arial to make more clear why we choose to consider those two glyphs variants. And basically I change it to the default font, and we do have a screenshot below this table which shows different renderings as a graphics file which is stable. And that is also the reason why it is a duplicate in the sense of the table above. So because I think it's required. So I think kind of solved the issue. Do you agree, Bill?
Except for one thing. In the screenshot, the source glyph for the G is still in the Times New Roman font rather than the Arial font. So that fails to highlight what we were looking at. So I'd like to see that replaced if possible. But otherwise, yes, I'm okay with it.
Okay, yeah, good point. Okay. We can try. I'm not sure. Do you think we need it for this iteration, or is it something we should leave for the next iteration?
I think I'd like to see it, at least for this case, in this one, since it's something that we've, we're not re-examining variant cross-script variants to Armenian, so I think I'd just as soon have it wrapped up at this point, if that's, I don't know how much work it is to redo the spreadsheet and take a new screenshot, but I'd like to see it if that's possible. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see about it. Basically, it needs doing a new screenshot and a new graphics file and inserting it. Should be somehow doable. Let me take a look. Okay, if there are no further comments, we can move on to the next comment. Yeah, here there was some remark about Latin GP having tried to communicate with Cyrillic GP. I remember we sent an email to them and we never got a reply from what I remember Miriana said. So I kind of just try to clarify that we wrote to them about those code points where we may end up creating an InScript variant for them, and that we have not received a response. Also, I inserted in another place where it was relevant.
We have Matt in the queue.
Please.
I don't think that we should have such a text in this document. I mean, that they have not responded. Yeah, that's the situation. We could comment that the Cyrillic GP, in the comment or discussion with the Cyrillic GP is needed or something. But writing that they have not responded doesn't sound good.
But it's a fact.
Yeah, it's a fact, but I don't think it should go into this document. I don't think that's the right place.
Okay, so how would you like the wording to be changed? Can you repeat that?
Only this situation needs comments from Cyrillic GP.
If I may suggest, I think if we simply say we have not yet received a response, that makes it clear that we're looking for one, and we have at least initiated communication without suggesting that any shortcomings on their part. And I think we do need to have something in here to indicate that discussion is in progress. When we get to the final document, of course, that's another story. But at this point, when it's a draft, I think it's worth putting some kind of note in here. And if we just say the Latin GP has not yet received a response, that's sufficient.
This is Harmad. I'd like to make a comment, so I want to get in a queue as well.
Okay, Sarmad, you are the next.
Thank you. In this particular context, I guess my question is let's assume the case that Cyrillic GP does not respond. Is a response needed for Latin GP to actually close the proposal? Let me do a post-fix sentence there. So what I'm getting at is that integration is really the integration panel's job, not really GP's job. It is good that GPs coordinate, but it's not required. It is not always the case that two GPs will always find the same variants. They can actually disagree with the number of variants across scripts. And in that case, the integration panel's job is to, import one set of variants into the other just to make things symmetric and so on. That's why I'm asking that, is there really a technical issue which will hold Latin GP to finalize their proposal? Or for example, it creates in script variants in Cyrillic script, which obviously is something that Cyrillic script GP must look at. So is there any issue holding us from Latin GP perspective, or is it just to sort of make things cleaner? I guess that's the question.
It's my understanding that it's more of a courtesy call, so to speak, and there is no issue standing in the way of us giving out our recommendations, even if they create an InScript variant. And I concur with Sarma's view that it's IP's business to handle integration. Thank you.
Matt's in the queue. No, please go ahead.
Yes, I think it's quite important that we don't cannot read it that we are kind of complaining that they have not responded. They have kind of closed their group. I don't know the situation in the group. I think that we could maybe comment that discussion about this with Cyrillic GP is not needed, but something that we'd like to see, and that has not yet happened. So more invitation. Thank you.
This is Sarma. I think I'd probably want to go even one step further, that I think you want to present it in a way that it's not just Cyrillic GP, but you know, you don't bound yourself from moving forward in case you don't get a response back from Cyrillic. So you should, you know, unless there is actually a dependency, I think it really should not be presented in a way that it is dependent on Cyrillic GP response, because that way you are actually stalling your own progress as well. Thank you.
Bill in the queue, please.
Yes, I think in a way it is a dependency of ours, because we have multiple cross-script variants which will result in a inscript variant for Cyrillic. So either we need them to agree that that's okay for that inscript variant, or we need to have them tell us explicitly, no, you can't do that, so then we can go back and decide which of the cross-script variants we identified is the critical one. We had something similar, as I recall, with the Armenian GP, which was no longer available to talk with, and we had two Armenian letters which were, in our mind, variants of the letter Q. The difference is apparently big enough for Armenian users to spot it, but was, in our judgment, so small that Latin language users would not notice. So I think yes, it is in some sense a constraint on us, because what we will have as a final product depends on what response, if any, we get from the Cyrillic GP. Thank you.
I think Matt has his hand up, but I just wanted to throw in that it's 33 past the hour, and yeah, there's quite a lot of stuff to look at.
Yeah, so, yeah. Let's postpone this discussion for later. Sorry, Michael. We are losing time. It is not important at this moment. We can say that we have contacted Cyrillic GP, and that's all. Something like this. Completely.
Mats, you still had your hand up. Do you think you was that an old hand, or was there something you were going to say? I don't want to cut you off. I just wanted to point out that we are running short on time.
Right. So I also agree with Bunyana that we should not lose time by discussing this too much. Something short. Yeah.
Like Pitinan said, remove the negative note. That's all.
Yeah. Yes, nothing negative to the Cyrillic GP.
Yeah.
They should be invited.
Yeah, yeah.
They should think it's fine and fun.
Okay. So if there are no further questions to the other issue, the next comment is about... I think it's the cross-script variant table with in between Latin and Greek, and all the code points had a remark saying glyphs nearly identical due to font design, but this one for some reason also said there was a comma at the end saying based on security. I did go back and check our documentation, and I saw that it received 4 ones as a rating and 2 threes for rating. So I assume that nearly identical due to font design would just do the trick. Are there any comments on this? Yes. So if there are no comments on the further on the previous thing, the next part is about the discussion regarding weak small letter alpha. And Dennis, you pointed out that needs revision. It was quite an old comment, so I'm not sure how it was current. Anyways, I changed the whole thing, and I tried to make clear that it may be visually identical, but not that this Latin small letter alpha may be visually nearly identical, but not in in the repertoire because of a lack of supporting evidence. But that nonetheless, on visual grounds, there would hypothetically be reason to consider these maybe variants, but this is not the argument here. So my question is, if you can take a look at this passage and let me know if it's okay or not. I know if you have a gist already now. If not, my suggestion would be to read through the passage, and if it's okay, remove the comment. Or just write me an email saying that it's settled, the comment is mute. Or if not, if you had any suggestion how to change the wording.
We have Dennis.
Yeah, this is Dennis. So in short, I think we already discussed this. We should remove any reference to 251 since it is not in the repertoire. And I would just go along Bill's comment below. The fact is that letter A, Latin small letter A, it's represented in general. I'm sorry, in general represented by two different glyphs, and that's it, right? I don't think by introducing the reference to 251, we're just introducing noise that we don't want, right? The discussion going to. Thank you.
And are you of the opinion, Dennis, that it will still be convincing if we remove the reference to Latin small letter of alpha? Because my impression is that they would argue that, no, it's visually different, but conceptually, since they are considered the same, this is actually the link in the minds of speakers. So do you think it will be okay for IP if we just remove it?
So I see Matt's hand, but let me quickly react to that. When people are, you know, using the bowl shape, the belly shape, no, I think it's a bowl shape, they're not thinking about alpha. They're thinking just A, right? And that's the argument. It's what would you characterize as a non-visual, you know, resemblance or similarity. So I'll stop there and let others speak.
Yes, exactly.
You have Matt's hand. Please, Matt.
I agree, but then it's important that we don't use, I don't know the comment by Bill, if that is an alpha, a Latin alpha, we should not use that in presentation, because then it's even more confusing. But it's not, I agree, users of A don't think about alpha. They think about A. Thank you.
Would this work?
There are a couple of comments in the chat around this as well for you, everybody.
We have Bill's hands. Bill, please.
Yeah, I would suggest we deal with this the same way we dealt with the two versions of the letter G earlier. Simply say that it appears differently in a variety of fonts, and then stick a picture in, if you will, of and whether how we generate the picture is basically irrelevant. If it's easier to just take a snapshot of an alpha, fine. If it's easier to take an A and work through until we find a font that does the job for us, that's fine too. But just put a picture in and not worry about it any further.
Okay, shall we move on?
Yeah, okay. So I guess the conclusion is that we should try to create screenshots like in WordMark and remove the reference to Latin small letter alpha. Okay, can we go on to the next comment if there are no further comments by the group? Yeah, so all of these comments refer to the same issue. So here there was a comment by Michael or Michael on something on the text which is missing. I changed the wording, but if maybe some people who are good in English could take another look at the sentence and tell me if there is anything wrong, still wrong there, which I may have overlooked. There are two comments here, which both refer to wording and English style. I think it should be good now. Michelle, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm just reading it, sorry.
While he's reading, let me just say as our token native speaker of English, I think it's been resolved successfully.
Bill says so, I agree, of course.
I'm glad I'm sitting down to hear that, Michael.
Oh.
Okay, the next one is at the end of page 58. Michael, if you're speaking, you're on mute.
So this is then reacting to Michael's comment there on the document. Saying this kindly, Michael, so what you're saying is that we look at your handwriting samples, not a, right? Is that what you're saying? Because if that's so, I think it's, the report is mischaracterizing. One would think that we've looked at a variety of samples throughout diverse sources, which I don't think is what's the case.
Hello, Michael.
Michael is muted.
Hi, I was dropped from the call. I don't know why. It took me quite a couple of attempts to join back.
Oh, so this is Dennis Michael. So maybe you didn't catch what I just said. So reacting to your comment, So what you're, I think what it's transfer, what you're saying here is that we look at your handwriting samples, but the characterization in the report seems to, you know, convey that GP look at a wide range of handwriting samples from diverse sources, which to my recollection has not happened. So I'm just trying to clarify the assertion of you know, the highlighted statement.
So, okay, I must have missed two or three minutes, but anyways, so my understanding of what is written here is that when I made suggestions for shortlisting candidates for review within the InScript variance situation, I was looking also at handwriting, thinking about what kind of things people do and how they kind of replace one thing with the other, because we don't study handwriting, we study fonts, because it's the only proxy we can get to handwriting, and it's the only proxy we can get to what's going on in the minds of the speakers. So this is what I meant, and this is what I understand in this sentence, or in this phrase. So is that acceptable or not, Dennis?
I think, thank you for the clarification, but if so, should we include, you know, examples in the proposal? To, if we are making the case that some, you know, handwriting conventions are transferred to font design, then shouldn't we be incorporating those to our evidence, such that, you know, makes a stronger case for what we, whatever we propose? Because I don't see those, that evidence.
I'm sorry,
so basically, we're asking the IP to take our word for granted.
So to respond to your suggestion, this is exactly what we have done. So it's part of the methodology and the approach we have for InScript variants, this hypothesis. And we also have actual handwriting examples quoted in different parts of the document. For example, there is one handwriting graphics referring to sharp S in the area of Greek script cross variants. So we do have such examples.
Okay. Yeah, if it's only just me, let's go ahead.
It's not about just you. I'm asking if they're okay. Like, what do other things? What do other people think, please?
Matt, please.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Dennis. I don't think that we have looked at handwriting samples in that sense. I mean, we have written things by hand on the board and discussed that, but the text gives an impression that we have used handwriting as source for our studies. It's been more like brainstorming to find out what to look at.
Yeah, that's also what I think, and that's also what I try to convey. So does anyone have suggestions of how to modify the statement so it becomes more clear to everyone what we did and what we did not do?
Bill, please.
Yes, I think if we simply modify it to say that in some cases, the Latin GP looked at handwriting samples as well as font design, I think that's sufficient to indicate that we did in fact do that, which we did, and also that we did not do it comprehensively. And I think that basically summarizes what we actually have done to this point. Thank you.
Do you agree that this would be a fix, Dennis and Mats?
comments, please? Well,
yes, I would say that we have looked at font design more systematically, and we have in some cases looked at handwriting, or we have thought about handwriting, but I don't think it, with Bill's modification, it sounds like handwriting and font design is on the same level, so in some cases. So I don't think that gives the correct description of the way we have worked. So if Bill could find something which says that we have also considered some handwriting and we have looked at font design, then it makes it more reasonable.
So this is Sarmad. I can't raise hand because of being the host. So I generally agree with the comments. I think font design, as Mats was saying, was a clear, considering font design was a clear part of the methodology which was followed by Latin GP. But handwriting, looking at handwriting was a very ad hoc kind of arrangement and was really not a consistent methodology which was followed through by Latin GP in the analysis. So I certainly, the two should not be really treated at the same level. Maybe split the sentence and focus on font design as a consistent methodology, and then maybe add, if you want to, it can be skipped, but if you want to add reference to handwriting, something which clearly says that it was an ad hoc method which was added in a few cases, not a consistent methodology. Thank you.
Bill, please.
Yes, I think we do need to acknowledge that we looked at handwriting. If you like, I can try writing a revised paragraph for you, Michael, and to try and capture that it was ad hoc and in only some cases, whereas font design was looked at regularly. I can do that.
Thank you. I prefer if you could write that in a separate email rather than put it in the document.
Yes, I was intending to.
So here there was a comment by Mariana. I think there was a table and I moved it to some other section further down below. Wait, let me see.
We have Dennis. Sorry.
Yeah, I saw Bill's hand first.
I'm sorry, I forgot to lower it.
Okay, so yeah, that table, Michael, it's the function of that table is to help programming the XML. So that's where we should populate with all the candidates for variants, describing the variant relationship and disposition values, of course, as well as the other input, right? Because that will help program the LGR.
Yes, thank you, Dennis. I understand, but I don't quite understand what's the action item resulting out of your comment. So are you saying the table is fine and should be left? Or are you saying it should be removed or something else? I didn't quite understand. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the moving, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe Mirjana can shed some light as to why she thinks we need to move it.
Sorry, I forgot what it was. It was before 6-7 months or something like this. In the context that this is just the placeholder for all inscript Latin variants, for me, it is okay now. and it will be populated when we define all InScript Latin variants. That was your explanation, and I have nothing against it.
I have a question there. I mean, is the idea to have one big table first and then multiple small tables with parts of it? But because then there's a risk that we don't have the same information in the two places.
Could you clarify what you mean by big tables and small tables, Mats, please?
Yeah, as Mirjana said, that here at 6.5, we should have the complete table. And then below, we will have tables that also include InScript variants. So there's a risk that we don't have the same information in the two tables if we have the same information twice. Or maybe I misunderstood something. Dennis is raising his hand. Maybe he can clarify.
Thank you, Matt. Not sure if I'm going to clarify or confuse more, but in my mind, I have two groups, CrossScript and InScript variants. And we have three tables, these sub tables within CrossScript, right? One for each CrossScript target. And as far as the InScript, this table really should capture all of the candidates for InScript variants. So we will have, different groups underlining, et cetera, and explain what the rationale behind the proposed candidates, and we can show the candidates. But as far as to help programming the LGR, everything should be, in one master table so that it's easier to manage instead of, going through different different pages, et cetera, et cetera. That's at least in my mind how we should, or I suggest organizing the tables, but that's just me.
Mats, you're muted.
In 6.6, it's also an InScript variant table. So that means that first we have the Mastodon table with everything, and then we have 6.6, a table with parts of it. So then repeat.
Sorry, Matt, sorry to interrupt. So I can quickly respond to that. 6.6 was created. It was not 6.6 before. I think in version 4 of the proposal, I think it was what we had thus far, as far as creating this, if you remember, some CrossScript relationships created InScript variants, right? And this table was just meant to capture that, because that's was in fact what we had at that time. This table should be removed. This InScript variant imposed by CrossScript variant should be removed. We capture those within InScript and put the principle that is behind the proposed relationship. But that's the only thing, right? For example, we know now turn E Ashwa are homoglyphs between Latin, right? And that's the main driver for the variant relationship. Not more, it's going to be transitivity, right? And same for dot less I and iota, or maybe not, I'm not sure. But again, this table should be removed. It's going to be a byproduct of when we populate all the CrossScript variants, et cetera. It was just to, put it front and center so that IP could react to it, but that right now there is no more, it serves no purpose. I hope that clarify the fate of this, short table. Thank you.
I'll go ahead and join those two tables and remove the introduction saying that it's made to readers. We're already at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
So I would like to suggest that any member go through the remainder of the proposal and take a look at any comments left. If they are the owner of that, they can take a look and see if there is any action left. Personally, I think that I've tried to fix all situations, but as always, I'm only one person. And maybe I misunderstood something. So there shouldn't be too many left, just a couple of them.
This comment could be removed.
And if you can submit any feedback you have by tomorrow, what was it, Pitinan? I don't remember the date you suggested.
So basically, the plan is to submit by the 10th, which is today. But of course, if you can review, probably like 24 hours review. I hope there's no much comment that opened. Then I can, like my morning tomorrow, if I don't see any major comment, I will start to capture this into the XML. And by the end of 11, we should have the package to ship to the IP. So would that be possible? Mats, please.
Please give time in UTC because I don't know where you are.
Yeah, I was also going to comment which 11.
Sorry. sorry. Okay, let me think then. So let's say after this, we give 24 hours. So by perhaps 11 October 1600 or 1700 UTC, that's the end of the comments on the proposals. And along the way, I'll try to already convert the XML. Hopefully on by 11 October before 24 UTC, I will provide the XML. And hopefully we can ship everything by 12 UTC 0. Would that work?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Peter.
One question to make: how do we send you comments on the email, or do you prefer to have the comments directed to the document and send a copy of those? I'm asking because the document is huge, so I'm not sure you're going to be able to fish individual comments if we send on the Word document.
Unless you're going to make substantial changes, which I hope you're not going to do. I would prefer if you write your comments and maybe like copy the passage you're commenting on into an email, write your comment below and send the email to me and then copy to Pitinan.
Right. I'm just scanning. I mean, we were almost there. I'm sorry to hold you up. The table on the the underlining, I would just change all the rationale to URL underlining. That's the driver of the variant relationship. I mean, it's no longer identical to, it says identical to underlining. Okay, so never mind. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. But if it's...
you're good. You are good. Yeah. Thank you, Michael, for this huge effort.
Yeah, it was really a huge effort. Thank you, Michael. Yeah. Now we shall finish the today call. And I have one question for all of you. Should we skip next week to rest a little bit, or shall we have the meeting next Thursday? What is your opinion?
I think we should go on having meetings because we have more to the process.
Okay, so next meeting will be next Thursday. And I'm now closing the meeting and thank you all for your efforts and hear you next week. Have a nice rest of the day and goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.